this part of which is being brought to you by Wonder Enriched Bread and Hostess Creamed Filled Cakes.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither wildly as they slip away across the universe. Sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my opened mind, possessing and caressing me. Shaguru Deva, oh, nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world. Which dance before me like a million eyes. They call me on and on across the universe. Thoughts meander like a restless wind inside a letterbox. They tumble blindly as they make their way across the universe. Million suns and calls me on and on across the universe. Jaguru Deva, oh, nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change.
Check. I don't know why I say that. You need something to just break the silence, you know. It's a bit like scribbling to see if your pen works. Okay, it is, what is it? December 10th, I think, today. I'm just back from a doctor's appointment, and all is well. I'm in Thompson Memorial Park. Here in Scarborough, yeah, the 10th, and it's just not quite 11 a.m. My poor wife is in bed, very ill, not exactly sure what, and she would not want me to go into details anyway, but she returned from Japan, or from Vancouver. Saturday, missed a flight by just a few minutes. She had stored her suitcase at the airport because her flight, you know, when she returned from Japan, rather than carting it back to our son's place, she left it there to get on the flight to Toronto next day. And they couldn't find it. And by the time she got to check in, they said, oh, sorry, it's too late. And we had to buy a brand new ticket same day. And she didn't get in until 12:30 in the morning. So that was not a good start, on top of being ill, you know. Oh, my God. So she's off work today and hopefully recovering. So I'm feeling a little guilty about just, you know, hey, I'm fine. I mean, that's not how I feel, but, I don't know what I'm saying. There's not a whole lot I can do. I mean, the only message was get more Tylenol, extra strength Tylenol, which I did. So my doctor was for my artery. I guess I'd had a stroke a few years ago. Not I guess, I did. And the main artery that comes down from the heart goes down and then sort of splits at the legs. That's the one they do an ultrasound of every year. And anyway, he had studied it and said, hey, guess what? There's not any growth at all, not expansion. When you don't want it to expand, it's fine. No change at all. See you next year. So it was no more than 5 minutes, you know. I mean, I tried to fill up the time telling him how fine I was. My opening is always mentally fine, or great, spiritually great, physically deteriorating, and then go on to explain it. But, you know, I mean, I guess those are good results. I mean, that's the thing that will kill you or lead you to surgery or whatever, and no change there, all is good. See him in a year, so grateful for that. As far as the, I told him what my other doctor told me, hey, you know, you're not going to get any better. The fact is, my walking, it will become more and more difficult to walk easily. And he said, well, get an alternative exercise, ride a bike. And, of course, I have that bike in the garage. And come spring, I got to get out on that thing, and I really have to make a bit of an effort. But anyway, there's no point in wasting your time or mine talking about what I should do. God. I had some things to share with you. Oh, I started off, I guess the last episode, 712, you heard either the granddaughter or maybe even great-granddaughter of George Bush, probably granddaughter, singing something out, something Christian, not singing, reciting at the funeral service. And for whatever reason, I chose that clip because it really hit me of, wow, you have to appear to be Christian if you want to make it to the top in American politics. And those who aren't, and gradually this will change, but boy, you want to be president, you better be a Christian. You know, that just appears to be the way it is in maybe a long time. More interesting, right now, my goodness, America's put out the an arrest warrant for the head of, can't remember the name, you know, the tech company from Japan, the big one. You all know the story anyway, if you're existing in the same time space I am. This is current news and it's big news. And so they've asked Canada to deport her to the States. China is saying, you, if Canada dares do that, there will be big time retaliation. And believe me, they are a big player. They will. We're just a little puny little thing, you know, just a oof, what they could do to our economy. I'm thinking, because, and this is this is a Trump charge, a trumped up charge, but probably a real charge, that he did business with Iran, broke the American embargo. Well, hey, China's saying, what the fuck? You're telling us what to do? So it's really a battle between America and China, and Canada's caught in this squeeze play, and she's still not out on bail yet. She's in bail hearings as of today. And I think there's only one way out, and that is to grant her bail and hope like hell she escapes. She gets on a plane and flies right back to China. And then let the Americans deal with it. Let them scold Canada for letting her go. But hey, if our legal system could be rigged so the judge says, no, don't worry about her being a... Because right now they're saying, no, she's a flight risk. She's going to leave. I'm saying, yeah, that's what you want. That gets us off the hook. they can sort out later. It's not like this is a mass murderer or somebody who, you know, for all my Canadian flag waving and saying stand up to the Saudis, I'm saying in this case, hey, let her go. Do not get caught up in this American battle with her. Because it's a squeeze play from both America and China. Really, this is what it's like to be Canadian. So I hope, I mean, I'll follow that story with interest. But again, this is for anybody listening from the future. I Google it for her name and the name of the company. And if you're interested at all, it's interesting as it's happening right now. And there will be, no matter what happens, there'll be repercussions. So whoever is the judge for that, if it's down to a single judge, boy, there's going to be a lot of political pressure on that person to make the right call. And to me, the right call is let her go. Jesus. You know, she's got two houses in China. The other thing is, I mean, I'm still portraying China as the enemy here. I mean, the reason Europe is not buying any equipment from this company, all of Europe, is there's Chinese government control over this company, or, you know, they are leads to the top. And you know damn well they're going to take advantage of this for industrial spying, military spying, political spying, anything at all. This is the name of the game. Use intelligence. They are going to use this technology to their advantage. I mean, everybody else is. So you can understand why people are upset about it. Okay, so where does that leave us? 1984... Brave New World. Let's hit the pause. And this won't be a pause. This will just be a pretend pause. Anthony does this once in a while, just stops to think. But I don't allow myself to think, because it takes too long. Okay. All right. Anyway, I just wanted a short start. Oh, I know. Circling back to the beginning. So last time I played that prayer thing because it really did bother me. Oh, yeah, I got the story now. Thank you. So this time you will have heard, prior to this, Jai Guru Dave or Across the Universe. And I love that song. And that from the Beatles, I guess from the Let It Be album, is my kind of spirituality. And that was so 60s mindset. Yeah, they've discovered, you know, the East, the Far East. And by that, we don't mean Chinese military dictatorship. The spiritual, and it was a beautiful, and I remember just being high on hash, listening to that again and again and again. And just, it's such a beautiful, beautiful feeling. And that, again, it's like, I suppose it was like, you know, in the old days you'd read poetry and that poetry spoke to you. Maybe something by Robert Browning or something. Yes, this is for me. And that song had that impact. And it was such a beautiful thing. And it talked to us. It talked to the whole mindset. It ties in, too, with the book I'm reading, Rock and Radio. I realized I do segments on this show. I don't have stingers to go with them, but I almost always talk about what I'm reading. I almost always refer to somebody else's podcast. I very often give you a mental or physical health update. There are regular things. It's just buried in the flow of conversation. So, last point. Oh, and the church. Speaking of which, I try to, you know, go by way of segues, and this is one of them. I had a lovely hug from Greta yesterday at church when I told her a story. And the story was, maybe I related it on the last podcast about being locked out of my house and feeling, God damn it, ah, shit, fuck, God damn. And then immediately thinking of some teenager thrown out of his house because mom's got a new boyfriend or an abusive father or the father's drunk or something's happened. There's been a fight in the house because she's wearing makeup and they end up as street kids. And it's a hard fucking life. And thank God my life is so easy and my kids have always had food and shelter and not had to endure some of those things. Not to say life isn't difficult for everybody, but for some, it's a hell of a lot harder. wonderful, wonderful story on CBC, a wonderfully sad story of the, and here we go back to China again, the, all the deaths from drug overdoses, and we're not talking heroin, we're talking about, you know, the one I mean, that the name won't come to me. And it was a story of somebody out of Nelson, a singer, and she sang a beautiful song, and she wrote her own songs, and she had left home at a young age and hitchhiked across Canada several times. And this CBC documentary maker recorded her song and then found out later she had died of a drug, of a fentanyl, a drug overdose in Toronto. And so had a friend of hers, and so had other people. And those things are being mass-produced in China, in factories, sent across here. I mean, they can be made anywhere, but we know the large volumes. And you can't fucking tell me the Chinese government couldn't stop that. Couldn't find out, where is this factory? How are they getting on ships being sent over? I mean, they're small, but this is killing people. Don't tell me, when you can spy on your citizens, you have face recognition, you can mow down people in Tiananmen Square, don't fucking tell me you couldn't stop the shipment of fake goods if you wanted to, but of course you don't, because it's money for you, and hard drugs that are killing Canadian people. And this was a lovely young woman with a beautiful voice, tremendous lyrics, who just sort of preferred that kind of roving life of an independent individual, and she's dead because of that. Now, where were we? We were going back to... we keep seeing the circling back to China, but this was... the connection was religion and was church, and Greta giving her the hug because... or she giving me a hug, or having that wonderful moment. Because when I walked into church yesterday, on very little sleep, because by the time I got my wife home, it was 2 o'clock before we were in bed. She said, "Ken, there are some people here from TV doing a special." And this is, oh my God, this is really, really bad. I mean, time after time, I am forgetting. I keep coming up with Rave TV, and it's not. It's the TV network that's really quite daring. And they go out and they do documentaries about, you know, lesbians in African countries, and they send people all over the place. You know who I'm talking about. I mean, I get their news. I just can't come up with the one four-letter word that is the name of this TV station. Anyway, they had sent a crew up from New York, a guy, wonderful guy, who was to interview. And Greta said, "Kim, would you mind? I think you'd be a good spokesman for the church." She probably didn't say spokesman. She probably used some other term, non-sexist. And I said, "Sure, no problem." And so these people said, "Okay, well, after the service, we're going to hook you up." And there they were with sound people, two cameras. It was a two-camera shoot, the interviewer. So it was a crew of four and a lot of equipment. Really super nice people. And interviewed me, and I was actually in a pretty good space. Here it is. Sorry, I was being detracted. Vice TV, because I get Vice News. And it was a really fun interview. I mean, they were really, you know, "Okay, you got to stand here. No, this spot, no, a little bit over. Okay, there you are." Hooked me up with a mic, and I talked for at least 10 minutes, and it was fun. I mean, I got into... before we were rolling and after they had stopped filming, a lot of good discussion. So they laughed, or somebody else who was observing the whole thing laughed, said, "You know, you'll probably only get 10 seconds airtime out of that." And that's probably true. But I'm excited about that. There'll be a little clip, and I'm pretty sure I'll be on it from the segment they're going to do about West Hill United Church and our atheist minister, Greta Vosper. So I will be sure to be sending all of my listeners the YouTube link when it's out, which should be the end of the month. So I'm going to end on that note. My goodness, I rambled all over, and I got to get back and see if my wife needs anything. Yesterday she also said, "I need soup." I said, "Oh, you want me to open a can?" "No." So, of course, I got out the Instant Pot, I made a vegetable soup. The only downside is there are far too many. There are the red kidney beans, and I don't like those. I much prefer the black kidney beans, and that's all we had in the house. And, you know, your usual carrots and onion and spinach and everything else. But so it was healthy enough, but those kidney beans, not very good. Okay, Scarborough Dude, duding out. Bye for now.
it rolling, Bob?
How many times have I used that line? And of course that was, I mean, for those who missed earlier episodes when I talked about it, that was Bob Dylan talking to Bob Johnson in the recording studio when he was recording Nashville Skyline. Okay? Alright, yeah, I'm sitting in the road track. I could have been anywhere else. Well, not quite anywhere, but many other places. But I chose this. It's snowing, it's cold, and I kind of just felt like this is an old friend I've got to get close to every once in a while. So here I am, engine running, warming it up. I'll turn the engine off. What the hell? There. It's cold today. It is December 11th. Oh, my brother's birthday. I talked to him last night, so I won't call. And, man, I got a lot to say. I'm afraid this is going to be one of these rambling on things as I go through a list, which can be pretty boring. Gee, I'll try, you know, hey, modulate my voice a little to keep your attention, rather than just read. I did make notes. Let's start with that. No. Okay. Last night was our men's group meeting, and I talk about this quite often. It's interesting. We had 10 men come out, all of us different backgrounds, different focus, different interests. But we do a fair job of keeping it interesting. It's 2 hours. We meet over tea or coffee, maybe some cookies, and we just talk. Often they start with a check-in, and we just go around the room and find out how everybody's doing, if anybody's got some news or something on their mind, and then get into a topic. Well, I set the topic last time by giving them the Dawkins scale of from 1 to 7, where you stood on whether you're an atheist or a believer. And it got quite a bit of conversation going, which was the point of it. And it guided us back to, why are we in this group? It's not to talk about sports or real estate or some of the other topics we get into, like history. We have some very knowledgeable people in this group who can talk at length on any particular topic, quite often not having much of a bearing as to why we're there in a men's spirituality group. However, and that's an aside, I woke up kind of, in fact, annoyed. Why didn't I speak up more? But I usually do. I'm fairly outspoken in this group. So I decided I would send out another piece to go over when we resume meetings in January. And this was on the 12 principles of humanism. And I attached it with the 12 principles written out from the Canadian Humanist group, which I just joined. And some questions, you know, would you consider yourself a humanist? Are there any of these 12 points that you disagree with? Were they missing anything? And then for a couple of bonuses, do you have to be an atheist to be a humanist? And is there an alignment between humanism and Christianity? So, you know, it's an exercise. That's fun. And I like to do that kind of stuff. So I spent some time at my computer composing these questions and sending it out to all the men in the men's group, even the ones who don't show up. And then for some reason went back to my podcasts, which are on archive.org, and started playing episode number 500. I don't remember why I picked that or chose to do that, but I did. And it was a surprise because I had completely forgotten the contents of it. But it, in that episode, it marked the end of the Scarborough Dude. I was very surprised at that. No, it's Ken now. I'm done with this. Yeah, I know why now. I went back to my calendar. I wanted to find out, when did I join West Hill United? When was the first time I went? Dates like that are important to me. And it turned out it was March 2015, March 28th, and well, just before that, maybe the 25th or something, whatever the Sunday was. And so episode 500 was all about my first going to this church. And I was amazed. Like, I have a complete record of meeting Greta for the first time, of meeting Scott, her husband, for the first time, who I'll be having lunch with on Friday, and I'm going to talk about this very thing. And it's I'm so thrilled that it's there. You know, you question sometimes, or I do, why I'm doing these podcasts. And here's something. I want to know the date. Well, not only do I have the date, but I have the exact feelings. I was reading out some, from some of the literature they gave. I had all my impressions from that very first meeting recorded, and it led to Bye-Bye Scarborough Dude, Bye-Bye Dixon Jane's podcast, and of course that's when I started. I don't know whether it was Baby Sally Talks or whatever. For the next 50 episodes, when I thought it was time to be polite and change my game a little, and of course we're back where we are on the Dixon Jane's podcast, episode number 713. But it was interesting going through that history, and I found a whole lot, and I found around that time, and my calendar anyway says that's when I had my stroke. Now, I'm figuring that can't be right, because I didn't talk about that at all. Maybe it was the week after, but it seemed March 2015, a whole lot was happening in my life. Joining the church, doing episode number 500, changing it up, and I don't know, other things were in there that happened around that time. Oh, yeah. It was also, before going to church, the last time I went to Gestalt therapy, that very week. Felt I had reached as far as I needed to go at that point and put an end to my sessions. And so I thought, well, that was kind of interesting. I did mention Canadian Amateur Podcasting Community as one I belong to, and of course that's come up recently. Told them, I'm not going to go into the whole thing. You can go back and listen to episode 500. Actually, the first part was interesting, and then it just went on about the church. And I think a lot of people would have been turned off by that point. Anyway, I talked about new programs that were coming up. There's going to be What Makes You You. That was going to be a podcast. That kind of fell through, as do a lot of my ideas. What else? Whither Goest Thou? That was going to be a name for... Maybe it was going to be the same one. I don't know. But the things that were said on that podcast are surprisingly true today. And here I am feeling very comfortable within this church, very involved. I just put through the order for the books by Dr. Goldman, about compassion. Discussed that in the meeting last night. Just there's a fit there that's so comfortable. One of the things I said to Scott, who I didn't realize at the time is Greta's husband, was I don't want to belong here unless I can be the oddball that I am. And I came out feeling, yeah, I can be my complete self in this church. And you know how very often you shape yourself to the circumstances you find yourself in, whether it's at work or in a club, a committee, at a meeting with other parents, whoever, you kind of conform to the situation. And I didn't want to do that in the church, and I wasn't going to go if I couldn't do that. And I'm finding I'm being more of a full, complete self, which is what I've been wanting to grow into for so long, within this church community, at these things, within the book committee. And it's bringing out the different talents and experiences I have. And it's a real surprising to me, because church, the word alone, can be such a turnoff, that this is where I feel the most growth. And that's quite wonderful. Anyway, all right, let's be done with that. But anyway, it struck me as very strange that the day that I chose to mail out the 12 principles of humanism, I also heard myself reading out loud on episode 500 the 12 principles of humanism. Like, that kind of synchronicity is weird. This wasn't pre-planned. This is the same with it, you know, at the very same time. I'm sending it out, going back, listening to this podcast, and towards the second half, I hear myself talking about humanism on one of these principles. So, there you go. All right, that's all I have for notes. I'm back in the saddle again. That was a song I played and did. Now, what else was it that I needed to tell you about? Isn't that odd? Now I don't know. I guess I just needed to get in the road trek and start talking. So I think I'm going to cut this short. Maybe give you another song. God. Come on, man. There was stuff, you know. My son didn't get home till 3 this morning. Poor guy. Got off a night bus along kind of a dangerous, sketchy part of Eglinton and had to walk home. But just as glad he didn't wake me up. I did tell him he could anytime, and I want him to. Wow. But, yeah, he decided to work extra. My wife is, I think, slowly recovering. I just went out and got another box or capsule thing full of, a capsule thing full of, what do you call, a little bottle? They're not bottles. What do you call little containers? I'm not at a loss for words. I'm just looking for the correct word. Of capsules of Advil. What do you call those things? A jar? No. Container? Not really. Okay. Cut.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson wheat. Back in the saddle again. Riding the range once more. Toting my old 44. Where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-yay, I go my way. Back in the saddle again.
And finally ended up, somebody dropped it and busted the screen again or something, and they finally chucked it. But so the other comment I have on the Canadian amateur podcasters is, I get it. I get what Doug's saying. Let's be inclusive. I think you should call it like podcasting superheroes, something very generic, you know, mega podcasters. I don't know what you'd call it. Some special club name. Podcasting with mayonnaise. I don't know. But no, I guess you would. To me, I find it, I like the fact that I say, well, I'm part of this group known as the Canadian Amateur Podcasters. I think it gives it a special identity. And I think as Americans, it makes us feel a little bit more special because we get included in something that's not saying like, it would be like if I said to you, join the American Podcasters Union, the APU. You're an honorary American podcaster, and bam. I mean, I think it means something to be obviously included in something that you're not naturally a part of to begin with, if that makes sense. So I've always liked the moniker Canadian Amateur Podcasters. I've always liked our Canadian Unprofessional Podcasters, or however you want to put it. I've always liked the fact that we're being brought into something that we are not naturally a part of by proximity or by location. So, you know, there's a nice little piece of honor there to be part of the exception, to be grandfathered in, to be accepted in. And I do believe that it was you that brought me into the fold in the first place of the podcasters. It was your urging that made me sit down and decide I needed to buy a recorder and start podcasting 400 episodes ago, nearly 6 years ago. It'd be 6 years, I guess, in either March or April. I can't remember. Wow, does time fly? Time certainly does fly. In fact, last year during the Christmas countdown, I hit episode 350. So even with all of my little, times off over the last year or so where I've taken, you know, a month away or a few weeks away, I still manage to average about an episode a week. About an episode a week, which is a good place to be. I mean, it's a nice place to be. I don't know what 2019 will bring in that, how I will structure the old podcast, how often or anything like that. But it's nice to have that tome of work and to be accepted as part of the community. So there you go. Those were my two thoughts. I'll have to figure out how to send you this audio file. So you can either listen to it privately, you can play it out loud, you can put it on cassette, play it in your boombox over at Bluffers Park so everybody can hear it. I don't know how you want to handle this, but greetings, and if I don't talk your... I don't know that I've ever submitted an audio clip. How weird. All these years, and I've been listening to Dixon Janes for... It was much longer than when I started podcasting, so it's beyond... the time that I've been podcasting, of course. And, of course, for those of you who don't know, I discovered Dixon Janes through Keith McNally talking, and I discovered Keith through Keith and the Girl when he was on Keith and the Girl, and then I dove down the rabbit hole, and I would assume you were either... I guess you were mentioned on an episode of XO many moons ago, because I believe it predated Vinyl Countdown. And that's, it's sort of like the podcasting family tree. The family tree of Canadian amateur podcasting. Good to talk to you. Have a merry ho-ho-ho and a happy 2019. Talk to you again soon.
Yeah, check, check. Okay. Now, I am parked. This is, Thursday, is it? Or Wednesday? God, they just fly by. It is... Wednesday, December 12th. Okay, I am parked across from the old Scarborough City Hall. Now, some of you may remember, I used to drive up there. It was one of my favorite places to podcast from. You could drive up on the hill and you're overlooking this, what's now been called the Hand of God Dog Park. Seems to be what it's called. That I just checked in Foursquare, and that's what it told me. That's where you are. Anyway, that they since re-landscaped everything. That road that rode up led up to the city hall, the old city hall, is no longer there. And they put in a brand new library, and it's a beautiful library. I haven't been in it yet. It's like all glass and windows. Very, very neat one. I don't know if Todd Turtle has visited this one yet. I know he's doing a tour of every library in Toronto, or so it seems. Very, very cool. But anyway, I'm just parked outside while I wait for my son, who I dropped off at Scarborough Town Center. He's got a bit of a cold. He's going to his first company party Thursday night and really wants a new pair of shoes. So I said, all right, I'll drop you off. I'll wait nearby and pick you up. Because he's also got to get himself downtown for Cirque du Soleil, that are in town for a while. So, yeah. He's keeping busy. I made him a nice breakfast today. And then said, I'm going to collect one day. Like, I'll be coming over. When you're settled and you've got a place, I'm going to be coming over and say, you got any beer? And he said, oh, you'll get more than that. So, anyway, it's kind of nice. Glad things are so much better now that he is working and we are less worried about him, and he's really into it, and this is good. Like he really, I think, has ambitions, and it's a good thing to see. So his good qualities are coming out, and that's what lifted him out of this depression. I spoke to another woman through my church who has a son who's young and has been diagnosed with ADHD and is having a very hard time transitioning into a high school where I don't think so many kids are understanding and the workload is heavy. And I really, really felt for her. We talked a long time. And again, it was that little bit of compassion that I often claim I don't have, that rose to the surface, and you know, we sort of held her hand and was very close to crying in the sharing that we did. Anyway, before the previous clip, I talked about listening to my first reactions to my first visit to West Hill United, and I don't think what I really explained was there's this sense of a oneness, and I don't mean all one with the church necessarily, but the fact that I can be myself in whatever form it takes, which, you know, I was reflecting back, well, aren't you that way all the time? And no, you're not. I mean, I might be one way on this podcast as a Scarborough dude, although that's up for debate. You know, this is probably just Ken. But this was the very spot I used to talk about that. I remember some of the discussions when I was parked here up on the hill trying to get rid of the Scarborough dude and bring back Ken, or vice versa. Get the fuck out of here. This is Scarborough dude's turn. As if there were two. And played with that a lot, but it wasn't really all a game. There was, you know, it's kind of a who am I? And the thing that I found that sort of amazes me is I feel very much fully myself within this community at West Hill United Church. Like, this is me. I'm a little different. I'm a little odd. I said that from the beginning. It was important. And I find I can express myself in many different ways through the men's group, through this refugee committee, through the book club, through just attending, through greeting people, through standing up at the beginning and making an announcement, for all the different ways that it's, I feel very, I was going to say full, I don't think that's quite the word, but maybe that all of me is there, that there is nothing that need be held back. Well, except for the creepy things I've done in my life. Yeah. Okay. Jesus Christ. Sometimes I worry that, you know, often I worry that this sounds so much like bragging. I don't mean it that way. I just mean that I'm trying to reflect on myself and how I'm changing and growing, because that's what we want to do. And that's a theme at West Hill. It's about personal growth. I listened to the virtual Youper today and realized a lot of people have already been miles and miles and miles ahead of me in terms of personal growth to start with, in terms of being less selfish. I've been a selfish, self-centered person for most of my life. And some people give a lot. And Michael, the virtual Youper, is just an example I'll throw out there, somebody who gives to his community, who gives through the work he does, who's generous, is thoughtful, is caring, and, you know, we're not comparing here. I'm just sort of putting that forward. And so when I talk about, wow, I'm actually a nice guy, it's been a long time coming. All right, I'll just put it that way. Whereas some of you have had a head start. Okay, let's park that. Jesus. My second Christmas present came in today. I ordered two books, and they came in separate shipments, but both free shipping. And, oh boy, am I thrilled. It's called I Have America Surrounded, The Life of Timothy Leary by John Higgs, written in 2013, forward by Winona Ryder, who was his goddaughter. A wonderful psychedelic cover. You might see that for the art. And it's going here side by side with the Rock and Roll Radio book. They fit together nicely, and what a great thing. You know, I rave about secondhand bookshops, but boy, there are times when it's nice to go on to Chapters or Amazon Canada and find something that you're not going to get used. It's not going to turn up, and order it new at a reasonable price. So I'm thrilled. And every Christmas, of course, that's the one thing I do. So I'm trying to tell myself I'm not allowed to read any of it. I have told myself that I'm not allowed to until Christmas. And I'll be able to hold to that. Not even flip it open and look through the pictures, which I tried to do and stop myself. Okay, we'll park that. What else do we have to catch up on? We heard, we heard Jason talking about, well, my Mac repair, and said I made the right thing. It's a real bitch to take Macs apart and get hard drives out, and yeah, good for you. Spending the $80 is worth it. Thank you. And then I cut that part out and put in the rest of forgetting back the history of how he even found me. And it was through Keith, who had interviewed me on one of his podcasts, and I forget the name right now. I keep thinking Q, but no, that was Gino Gomeshi. another creep. Yeah, I haven't seen him at all. He's been in Toronto for a long time. I did meet up with him somewhere fairly recently, and but we haven't sat down and talked or anything else. Okay, I don't know. Maybe I thought there was more to it than that, but a little update health on my wife. The kitchen is spotlessly clean. And when I left, she was still vacuuming from top to bottom of the house. So that is a sign she's a little bit better, but still very much in pain in terms of her her thyroid and needs to see a specialist on that. So we're just hoping the call will come soon, but sometimes it's very hard to get a ENT specialist to get an appointment with one. So she's waiting on that. And but it just makes things just slightly more bearable around the house. Sometimes I'm on the receiving end of impatience. Like, my hearing is bad, and so she could only whisper. Like, I'd heard her to talk, so there's just whispering, and I'm just getting for like, I don't understand, and I don't have that natural sensitivity. I can't do the, honey dear, I'm really sorry, but I just can't hear you. Mine is more, look, for, I don't know what the hell you're saying. You know, it's, I shouldn't be laughing, but I mean, I can't quite control it. It's so frustrating to me. Jesus Christ, you know. So anyway, she did resort to writing things down, which helped. I shouldn't be laughing, but the fact that I'm laughing is a sign things are just slightly better in the household now, with some hope. No plans for Christmas. I haven't started Christmas shopping. I mean, I have to get something for my son. Although now that he's reading, great, I can get him a book or two. And for my wife, again, like, just tell her. But the trouble is, she'll often gets me something, and then I feel lousy. And, you know, I don't know. Okay, then we're going to park that. But I have not listened to any of the 12 Days of Christmas podcasts. I don't know if I can. I'm just not ready for Christmas at all. So, and the other thing, maybe I'll just mention, because I bring it up all the time. I just tell myself, well, you almost have to go to Arizona, and then I'll wake up in the middle of the night and think, I don't know if I really want to go. I don't know if I want to make a long trip. I want to drive across the country to Vancouver. Part of it, there is a financial factor there. No matter how you do it, even sleeping in your van, gas is a lot of money, and you still got to eat and do stuff. So it's not necessarily, my not going is not necessarily me chickening out. It might just be a very practical decision. Look, you know, how much do you really want to go? Where do you want to go? You want to go back to Lowell? For the Kerouac, Lowell celebrates Kerouac in the spring. You want to, after the girls go back to Japan, you want to drive across to Canada and back again. Like, that's a huge trip. You know, maybe you better save your money for that. So that's all, if any of you were wondering, which, of course, you weren't, because keep listening to this podcast and you'll find out where I am, where I was, where I went, where I'm going to go. Scabberdude! Signing off. Okay. Listen, I've just got a few more minutes to finish this off, and I'd like to...
Hey, fuckhead. What's all this shit about your church?
Prick. I thought you were dead.
I'm not dead. I'm right here. Listening to your shit. What the fuck is that all about?
Oh, come on, prick. Leave me alone, man. We're done. You're history.
I'm not fucking history. You're the asshole here. You're the guy who needs correcting.
But What is it? What fucking correcting are you talking about?
All that shit about you and the new you and the church you found and what a good person you are now makes me want to fucking puke.
Well, prick, you can go ahead and puke. I really don't care what you think, what you say.
Sure you do. Because I'm touching a nerve. All this business trying to prove everybody, oh, now you're Mr. Nice Guy, right? You found a church, and that makes you all good and special now, and everybody's going to like you because you're a nice guy. It's sickening. You're not the fucking change. You're not changed at all. You're the same fucking jerk you always were.
Prick, you are just here to irritate me. I have no reason to listen to you. I don't have to put up with any of this crap. You're done. You're from the past. You were the nagging conscience that I created, right? You're not even real.
I'm not real? All these words, all this crap you've been pouring out, sending to people, you call that real? It's just fucking words, man. Just fucking talk.
I don't even know why I would take time to try and explain to you what this is about. The words are just a reflection of what I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing, what I'm thinking.
What you're thinking. You're thinking you're pretty shit hot. You're thinking, oh, you're 70 now, so you gotta tell everybody you got all your shit together, all your ducks lined up, everything is just great, and you're somebody fucking special. Well, you're not. You're the same fucking asshole you always were. You're shallow. You're self-centered. You've got all kinds of shit you love to dish out and pretend it's gold. It's the same fucking bullshit you've been doing since you started this racket.
I won't even try and defend that. I'm gonna let the listeners decide for themselves what they want.
Excuse me.
Dark, you know, this is the first time I'm actually happy to hear you.
Well, I do think Prick has been a little hard on you. And I just wanted to tell you, I think you really are trying hard to be a better person.
Dork, I appreciate that very much. And although I pretend I don't care what Prick says, it does get under my skin.
Oh, fuck you. The two of you together. Fucking you and Dork. You try to make this shit smell like roses. It's just, can't you see? 700 fucking episodes and you've got nowhere. Nothing's happened. There's no creativity here. There's no joy that you're spreading. It's just one man fucking jacking off in a corner. That's all what this is. It's just a big fucking jack off.
Oh, Prick, I think you're not very nice or very fair to Scarborough Dude or Ken or whatever he wants to call himself now. I think you have to give him a little more respect.
Respect my fucking ass. What has he done to get respect for? Nothing at all. It's just shit, shit, and more shit. That's all we hear. And I just wanted to call him on it. I can't stomach it anymore. And especially this last one, all about I found this church and now I'm special and everybody likes me and I like everybody. That's just enough to make you fucking shit your pants.
Well, maybe you want to shit your pants, but I want to think that Scarborough Dude is actually trying very hard to be a better person and make improvements to his life and even the people.
Dork, it's okay. I'll fight this battle on my own. Listen, guys, nice of you to drop in, but we're going to end it here. All right? Just this, I've had enough. I don't really want to hear from either of you ever again. I'm sorry to say that, but that means you too, Dork.
Well, I was...
Yeah? Eat shit.
Sorry about that, folks. Not a lot I can do about that. You judge for yourselves. Thank you very much. Scarborough Dude. Signing off until next week.